You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Absent Minded. And as you have realized, in the top 16, the Sweet 16, we're going to do every player have their own episode. We're here today with number 14, Jordan Harris, who is the second in this plateau of five players within 1 point of each other. We had Sean Farrell yesterday. We'll have the other three in the upcoming days. I am joined today by none other than my colleague, my friend, and man flu suffering person, Adi Halakesh.
Yep, that's me. I've been sick for a week, but I'm feeling a bit better. So I can talk through it. Might mute myself a couple times to cough, but that's about it.
But, you know, everyone knows that the man flu is obviously the worst illness in the whole world.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's nothing about it. We shouldn't really be joking about it after those 3 years we've had with COVID. But yeah, we can still take the piss out of it because it's back to normal now. Jordan Harris, though, Hadi, quite an interesting year. Started out quite well with Kovacevic as a defensive partner in the NHL and built there. He was swapped around a little bit between two major pairings, I think, and it was the Savard Harris and Kovacevic Harris pairing that really stood out, and one end and the other end.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, I'm pretty sure they led all D pairings this year in expected goals differential. There are a couple flaws with certain models that take into consideration expected goals. You know, we were talking about it a bit before the show, but things like goaltenders who control rebounds really well usually are punished by expected goal models because they're not saving high danger rebounds that they themselves created out of nothing, stuff like that. So, you know,
but that should also impact defensive players at that end, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why it should be taken with a bit of a grain of salt. But at the end of the day, I saw a lot of very good things in the way that they worked off each other, Harris and Kovacevic. Harris oftentimes looked like the most mature player on that back end for Montreal. Really just the composed decision making. And I think really Harris has been thinking like a pro defensively since he was 20. I mean, this is nothing new. Having watched him a lot for Northeastern, it's always been a staple of his game, just how good he is at thinking his way out of trouble and making smart little decisions all over the ice and getting himself out of trouble. So I'm really not surprised that his rookie year went as well as it did. I'm just looking forward to see how his skill set improves from here on in, because thinking your way out of trouble is one thing, but I want to see him skate or stick handle or pass his way out of trouble a lot more often, which is what is kind of the next step for him in his trajectory.
Obviously, we have a new recruit into the team here and renew, or whatever we're going to call it, born again. We got Jeff Petrie coming in. So far, he is with the team, with the roster. We don't know if he's going to get traded before the season starts. Yeah. But these are the kind of things that Petrie is very good at. Would that be beneficial to Harris to have Petrie around and maybe teach him something around those lines?
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing I'm concerned about is that I'm worried that Harris will be relegated to a retriever and kind of defensive stalwart responsibility type of thing by being paired with Petrie, because what Petrie's good at is skating his way out of trouble and carrying the puck up the ice, right? And I want Harris to get comfortable doing that. So if Jeff Petrie is taking those responsibilities away from him, that's a concern.
I was meaning more maybe like teaching him how to be that Jeff Petrie.
Absolutely. I mean, that could help. The only thing is, like, I'd be extremely surprised if Jeff Petrie starts the year in Montreal. Yeah. If he does, that's great. I mean, that's certainly an option to show Harris the ropes in training, but I wouldn't put them on the same pair, that's for sure. I think that would do more harm than good for Harris. Yes, he'd be watching it from an immediate standpoint, but he's not experiencing those scenarios if he's just glued to Petrie's hip all year. So, you know, having him around to show him how to do it, you know, in training and Brassard when they're working on drills, etc., that'd be great. But I don't think that pairing would do well for what Jordan Harris needs to learn, because what he knows already is very complementary to what Petrie knows and does well. So he would only be experiencing the scenarios that he's already very comfortable with, which is, it's good for his confidence, but it's not good for his development.
No, and if you want to develop, you but as a use Petrie as a teacher, I think is might be worth it. With the stats that we have, obviously, I would not. I would definitely not pair Harris with Savard, but Kovacevic yeah. and Harris seems to be a pairing you can build forward on as well.
For sure. And I think that Jonathan Kovacevic is really good at putting his defense partners in situations where they can skate the puck up the ice. So that's the main thing that Kovacevic is good at, is retrieving pucks behind his net and making a quick, short, 6-foot pass to a defender who's supporting him well. And Harris is very smart in terms of how to read plays and how to open himself up to receive a pass. So all he needs is a guy who's going to feed him the puck just above the goal line so that Harris can skate the puck out of trouble. And Kovacevic is really good at that. And that's why they worked out so well together. And that's why their expected goals differential was so high. It was because Harris was helping Kovacevic by being in the right spots. And Kovacevic was helping Harris by feeding him pucks in just the right with just the right weight at just the right time in order for Harris to be able to skate them out of trouble really easily. So that pairing works well, both in terms of the results on the ice and the things that both players need to learn long-term. Because Kovacevic can skate the puck up the ice. We can definitely improve on that. And Harris is also good at finding him in those spaces. So just having two players whose skill sets complement each other in the way that helps both of them develop, especially when we're talking about two young defenders, is something that's really good for the Habs, especially with the Habs team that is in no situation to be contending this year. Like, what you need from your team this year is to, you want your young players to be put in situations where they're going to learn and develop so that in 3, 4, 5 years when you're contending, they're doing the right things and they have as complete a skill set as they can have in order to impact the games in multiple ways. Because your roster is going to change inevitably. It's not like everyone who's on the roster this year is just going to get better and then you become a contender. You're going to add some key pieces to that team. And it's just about how the players you currently have change their way of playing in order to adapt to those new scenarios, to those new circumstances. So I'm looking forward to it. But I feel like keeping Harris and Kovacevic together is a good idea. And it's going to help both of them develop the skills and tools that they both need in order to become key figures of this team moving forward.
Obviously, Harris had a couple of games the season before with the Habs, but this was really his rookie season. How impressed yeah. were you with his rookie season?
Very impressed, but at the same time, nothing really surprising. Like I said, Jordan Harris has been thinking like a pro defensively since he was 20. So in that area of his game, nothing's changed. He's still a high-end thinker when it comes to, you know, reading opponents' intentions, anticipating their rush patterns, anticipating how they're going to be attacking off the cycle, and getting involved and disrupting those elements really well. That's just always been Harris's bread and butter. And he's always had the skating to back it up, right? I mean, especially off the rush, you could really see how good Jordan Harris was at keeping his feet moving and matching his opponent's footwork in order to prevent them from getting set up in the offensive zone to start with. For me, it's just what I was looking forward to seeing from Jordan Harris is an elevation of his skill set. I haven't seen that yet. So I still think there's a bit of ways to go in terms of rounding out his playmaking ability, getting more confident on the puck, attacking the slot a bit more when closing down from the blue line, that kind of stuff. Things that Caden Gooley does really well, for example. Caden Gooley is a fantastic offensive activator. He constantly jumps into offensive plays. He constantly finds ways to get involved as a fourth forward in offensive rushes. I want to see Jordan Harris do that more and more. I've seen it a bit. I've also seen Jordan Harris improve his physicality, which is something I wasn't expecting and was pleasantly surprised to see. But for me, the key element of Jordan Harris's game that needs to improve in order to see him become a true top four defenseman would be an elevation of that skill set and an increase in his confidence offensively in terms of jumping into rushes. Does that come with time as he continues to play with a more conservative, more composed and calm Jonathan Kovacevic? Maybe. But right now, as he stands, that's still the development objective I've had for him. I've kind of seen play out for him since he was 20. It's the same thing that I've kind of seen hold him back and what made me see him more as a bottom four defenseman rather than a top four defenseman. So the runway is getting shorter and shorter, but I'm still confident that Harris has the smarts in order to elevate that area of his game with time. I still think that's something he could develop. Will he? That's another question, and we'll see more of it this year, but I still think that he has the intelligence to develop it, and I still think it is a development objective.
And also, there are youngsters pushing through.
Yep.
We have Mayu, we have a certain David Reinbacher, we have a certain Adam Engström, etc., etc. There are youngsters that might be better at exactly those things where Harris will need to improve on. And it could, you mentioned you bring in other pieces, and it's depending on how well you adjust and learn and develop yourself into keeping that roster spot for the future. How certain are you that Harris can progress and improve in that regard?
I'm fairly confident. I don't think it'll ever get to the point of a Lane Hutson. Like, Lane Hutson to me is the anti-Jordan Harris, right? I mean, Jordan Harris, what he lacks, Lane Hutson has in spades, and what Lane Hutson has, Jordan Harris has in spades. I mean, it's just, there's certain, like, if you compare the two and want to put them in similar scenarios, Lane Hutson is going to activate offensively every time while Jordan Harris stays back. That might even be a very good deep pairing because of the complementary skill sets. But for me, at the end of the day, it's all about the intelligence to know how to put yourself in those scenarios. Jordan Harris is smart enough to read plays and to understand opposing attacking patterns and opposing rush attempts and opposing cycle offensive cycle attempts. But can he put himself in the scenarios that he anticipates so well? For me, the answer to that is yes. I still think he's very, very intelligent, very capable of finding himself in those scenarios and exploiting those scenarios very well. But it's really a matter of facing those scenarios, because no matter how smart you are, if you're not experiencing those elements, if you're not experiencing those scenarios, that area of your game isn't going to expand. It's not going to develop in any way. So for me, what I really want to see next year is Martin Saint-Louis putting Jordan Harris in situations where he's forced to activate. Situations like offensive zone starts, situations like the power play. I think that'll help Jordan Harris a lot in terms of understanding and learning how to read those offensive lanes that he can hit and exploiting them well. Even maybe pairing him with Caden Gooley would be a good idea in terms of just seeing Caden Gooley go about and be like, oh, wow, I can do that. And all of a sudden, he's finding himself in scenarios where he's seeing the lanes that Caden Gooley would see and doing the things that Caden Gooley would do. So it's just, you need to find him the right seat in order for those elements of his game to bubble up to the surface and then become regular elements of his game, so that he has enough reps in those situations that it's not a concern anymore. So right now, my big concern with Harris is that he doesn't have those reps. I know that he's smart enough to do it. I know that he's skilled enough to do it, but he's not getting those reps. And it's just a matter of making sure that he experiences those scenarios. So this next year is going to be key in that. I can't give you a straight answer. My personal opinion is that yes, he definitely has all the tools to make those reps more recurrent. But this next year is going to be very telling in terms of, does Martin Saint-Louis see the same development objectives that I do in terms of what Jordan Harris needs to learn to become a top four defenseman? And is that even a priority? You know, like you said, there's a lot of moving pieces in this team. There's a lot of youngsters pushing for a spot in that top six. There's an overloaded defenseman on the left side. Yes, Harris can play the right side, but he's a left-handed D, and ideally he would play the left side. So is that even a priority for the Habs to make Jordan Harris a top four defenseman? That's the main question in all this, I think.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is this a complementary piece in the puzzle, or is it a corner piece in the puzzle?
I think Harris at his core is a complementary defenseman. I don't think he's going to be the guy manning the charge. I think his leadership abilities are solid. Maybe you can build around that and have him become a leader on and off the ice. But in terms of what he brings to the game right now, he doesn't bring anything that's game-breaking. He brings something that any coach loves. Any coach loves a smart, smooth skating, defensively intelligent defenseman. But he doesn't bring anything that will make or break a game, that will win you a game on his own. You know, he doesn't have the the stick handling and vision of Alain Hudson. He doesn't have the physical ability of a David Savard or a Caden Gooley. He doesn't have an element in his game that really changes a game with one situation, but he does everything very intelligently and smoothly and well. And for me, if he develops an offensive activation game where he's getting confident and jumping up into the offensive zone, you could see him become a corner piece, because mentally, on and off the ice, very, very solid. And he's the type of player that can make a locker room gel together extremely well if he's put in a leadership role and grows into it and grows out of being a rookie. Because that's another thing that a lot of players sometimes get stuck in, the rookie mindset of, I need to let other people take the stand, let other people have their voice. I'm here to listen and learn. If he grows out of that and becomes a speaker in that locker room, maybe the Habs change your mind in terms of whether he's a complimentary piece or a corner piece. But his skill set in a vacuum right now just screams complimentary piece. And you need those sometimes. They're good to have in your bottom four. But like I said, there's a lot to learn for him to become a top four piece and a staple in that top four.
We spoke a little bit in regards to other players that you don't always need the sexy pick or the sexy player.
Yeah.
You need that player that makes the sexy player better as well. And Jordan Harris seems to be one of those players that has the potential to strive towards becoming a more integrated part of this team or off in the offensive part of the team. But yeah, Right now he is that player that makes a Logan Mayo or a Lane Hudson or someone else a more standout player when on the ice.
Yeah, absolutely. What he excels at is putting his teammates in good situations. He's very similar to Kovacevic in that sense, where he takes whoever he's playing with and just gives them the floor to kind of explore their game. So I feel like
Harris, David Savard, then.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to make David Savard look good, but it's a situation where I feel like he would be fantastic next to Lane Hudson. You've already seen what Hudson and Reinbacher can do together, and a lot of what makes Jordan Harris good is what makes David Reinbacher good. It's the smooth skating, the defensive intelligence, the ability to think your way out of trouble and find little openings in defensive formations to make a pass, that kind of thing. So he's going to be very good at making a guy like Lane Hudson shine. But Lane Hudson is also extremely good at finding his D partner when they activate. And that's why he works so well with Reinbacher, is that David Reinbacher activates off the puck extremely well. We saw it in rookie camp. We saw a couple situations where David Reinbacher just beelined for the offensive zone while on the cycle, and Lane Hudson was able to delay and then shoot a pitch-perfect pass onto a stick. I want to see Jordan Harris do that, and I feel like playing with Lane Hudson could be the solution to seeing him do that more often, because inevitably he's going to get smart enough to understand what Lane Hudson's trying to do, and he's going to be able to just make a beeline for an open spot in the offensive zone and get found in those situations by a very intelligent and very good playmaking Lane Hudson. I feel like Harris is the type of player to elevate any player he plays with, but it's also very important for that player to be skilled enough to make Harris more comfortable seeing a bit more offensive scenarios. Like I mentioned, reps is the most important thing right now for Jordan Harris in terms of seeing more puck touches in the offensive zone, because that'll make him a lot more confident on the puck. And, you know, I feel like David Reinbacher is Jordan Harris with that element, with that comfort activating offensively. And
a wee bit more size.
Oh, for sure. I mean, a couple inches on him, for sure.
That's the other thing that you have to talk about when it comes to Jordan Harris. 5'11". Putting him with Lane Hudson, that's going to be two Smurfs out there.
I'm not too worried about that. Jordan Harris has shown a lot of situations this year where he was able to lay a big hit, where he's able to hold off a 6'3", 6'4", winger. Jordan Harris, in terms of the mechanics of his board battles, in terms of the mechanics of his physical tools, his ability to throw his center of gravity in the right way to put a player on their butt, is, I'm not worried at all about that. I haven't seen Jordan Harris get out-muscled this year, which is the main concern when it comes to smaller players. And I feel like if Jordan Harris was an inch taller, if his size started with a 6 and not a 5, no one would be talking about this as a concern, especially when you watch him on the ice and see how good he is at, you know, out-muscling opponents, at protecting the puck, at, you know, working the boards. For me, that matters a lot more than the actual height of the player. You know, I've seen situations where, you know, we talk about a guy like Daniil Boot, who was drafted last year by the last draft by the Arizona Coyotes. He's a 6'4", 200-pound winger, and I guarantee you, you throw a puck into the boards and send Daniil Boot and Jordan Harris in for it, 90 times out of 100, Jordan Harris is coming out with that puck. It's just, it's about the skill set. It's about how you use your mechanics, how you use your body. I always come back to Mike Weaver, who was a very, very funny contributor to the Canadiens in the mid-2010s. 5'9", 185 pounds, but you could not move him. He was an immovable object on the ice. And yeah, it's all about how you use your size, in my opinion. And I feel like Jordan Harris has all the mechanics down pat in terms of how to out-muscle opponents, how to push them off the puck, and how to win board battles. That's not a concern for me at all.
Interesting. Again, we're here with Hadi Kalakesh talking about Jordan Harris. Going back to where we started this discussion a little bit, is the fact that we have this plateau. I have not seen a plateau like this in our rankings before, with five players that are all very good players as well, within a point of the average of the voting. So yeah. We have Sean Farrell coming in at 14, and then we have number 11 coming in at 13.17. So it's insane how close it is. And I think in some ways we shouldn't really be looking at, oh, he's ranked 14. We should essentially say he's at this plateau, because that's so close. There are obviously, as you mentioned, and I mentioned, other players coming up. And do you see a future where you can put Jordan Harris into the AHL without going through waivers?
I'd be extremely surprised. However, if Jordan Harris is in your AHL squad because you don't have a spot for him in your top six, you're a contender. I mean, unless you just have six players who are slightly better than Jordan Harris, if you have six defensemen who are better than Jordan Harris, you better be a contender, or something's very, very wrong and you're going in between the pipes or up front. Jordan Harris is a great, great defenseman, and if he gets traded out because the Habs have too many depth pieces, it is what it is. It's not the biggest of losses, but he's still a very good NHL piece, and I feel like any team would be very, very lucky to have him. So I feel like him being a perennial AHLer would be a waste, and I don't think his agent would be very happy with that.
I'm thinking more that if you have six players on contracts that will have to go through waivers.
Yeah. No,
and,
exactly.
And you send Harris down for, you know, until the trade deadline where you lose two of them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if a trade happens, it'll involve Harris and Petrie. I feel like those are the two names that I feel like are the most likely to get shipped off. And I don't think this is the type of scenario where I feel like Harris would stay in the AHL for half a year and then get traded at the end of the year. I feel like if there's a trade involving Jordan Harris that happens, it's more likely to happen in the next few weeks. And if it doesn't happen in the next few weeks, I'd be surprised if it ever happens, because like I said, I mean, it's the type of situation where I'm pretty sure that Martin said we absolutely adores Jordan Harris. I mean, the things that he brings to the ice are fantastic. So I'm not too worried about that being a possibility. But if it's the situation that helps you ice the lineup, that'll help you develop your team the best, then sure. I just don't see any benefit in playing a 30-plus-year-old Jeff Petrie over a 22, 23, 24-year-old Jordan Harris. There's no situation in which that's beneficial for you long term. So it's just about what the priority is this year, because I personally, as a fan and as a fan of player development and scouting, I'd be very frustrated to see a Jordan Harris playing in the AHL while Jeff Petrie sees 16, 17, 18 minutes a night. That'd be the worst case scenario, in my opinion.
There you have it. You've been listening to Hadi Kalakesh and Patrick Bexell talking about Jordan Harris and his development. Standout player, even if I ranked him maybe a little bit too low going at this list. but at least I wasn't as bad as Scott. we do, however, have a very young defensive core. I'm sure we'll have Hadi on during the fall to talk about it even more. But it's an interest, without mentioning name now, and especially not the names in surrounding this plateau. But it's a very interesting defensive core that Montreal has.
Absolutely.
Is it the beginning of a contending core?
I mean, already with Hudson, Reinbacher, Engstrom, Harris, Kovacevic, there's a lot of pieces in that decor that are really, really interesting. And I don't know how much more you would need to become a contender, but if Hudson hits a ceiling, that alone could put you in the contending spot. You add to that David Reinbacher, you add to that potentially even Logan Mailloux if he improves on his decision making and defensive game. And the pieces that we've already talked about, Adam Engstrom, who's just been absolutely so impressive this year. There's a lot of depth in the pool, and you've got a potential star in Hudson, a potential number two in Reinbacher. And then it's just about what you add to that, right? But I feel
Also, the draft this year is as we've here,
yep.
or right now, very strong in defensive terms. So let's say you get another defender there as well.
Yeah, by the way, Cole Hudson, Lane's brother, is going to get drafted this year. A better skater, same skill set, but less good defensively. So it gives you an idea of what to expect out of him. Got Sam Dickinson, Zane Parekh, Henry Muse, a bunch of the players we saw at this World's at this Hlinka-Gretzky Cup for Canada. You've got Aron Kiviharju out of Finland. Artem Levshunov, who's playing in the USHL. There are just a lot of really interesting defensive pieces this year. So worst case scenario, you add a number three or a number two in this year's draft, and that's just fantastic. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting year in terms of where the Habs end up, because they're going to have a lot of options for defense, for sure.
Thank you so much, Hadi. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of a player that is ranked 13 in our top 25 under 25.